Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
As we heard earlier in the programme, Sonny Jacobs is one of two people who were killed in a house fire in Connemara earlier today. Sonny had spent 16 years in a Florida prison for the murder of two police officers, some of those years on death row. She was released from jail in 1992. She spent much of her time after her release teaching yoga and raising awareness about the death penalty. We're joined now for more on all of this by Ellen McGarahan, who's an author and private investigator, who's written a book about the crime for which Sonny and two others were jailed and its aftermath. The book is called Two Truths and a Lie. And Ellen, you're welcome to the programme this evening. I know you've said that this case actually changed the trajectory of your own life, and we might get to that in just a moment. But first, can you tell us a little bit about this crime that saw Sonny and the two others sent to prison?
Yes, and thank you. And I just want to say how sorry I am to hear about this news. It's a tragedy, and my heart goes out to Sonny's family and the family of the other person who was in the house. Sonny was convicted in 1976 of the murder of two police officers in Florida. On the morning of February 20th, 1976, she and her boyfriend, Jesse Tufaro, and their friend, Walter Rhodes, were in a car on the side of the highway sleeping. And two police officers, Trooper Philip Black and Constable Donald Irwin, knocked on the window. And moments later, they were murdered. They were shot and at pretty close range. And the Sonny and her boyfriend and Walter Rhodes and two children in the car took off in a stolen police car. There was a police chase. They were captured at a roadblock. Walter Rhodes turned police evidence and testified against Sonny Jacobs and Jesse Tufaro, sending them both to death row. And then about a year later, he recanted and said he had murdered the officers himself. And then he recanted his recantation a number of times back and forth until 1982, when he settled on his trial testimony. In 1990, Jesse Tufaro was executed in Florida's electric chair. And I was a young reporter for the Miami Herald at the time, and I witnessed the execution. And that was a terrible event. Actually, it went awry.
Yeah, so can you talk to me a little bit about that then? As you say, that happened in 1990, the execution of Jesse Tufaro, who's Sonny Jacobs' husband. You witnessed it. Can you tell me a little bit about it and how that changed your life?
Yeah, it was terrible. Actually, he was her boyfriend, not her husband.
Excuse me.
To be clear about that. Florida State Prison at the time used the electric chair, and apparently what happened, what the prison told us, the witnesses, was that there was a sponge in the headpiece that caught fire when they applied the electricity to it. And so three times they turned the electricity on and off, and his flames burst from his head each and every time. I'm very sorry to say. I know it's distressing to hear. They finally declared him dead after sort of a long and unusual and horrible event. And so witnessing that, I was a young person, and that was the morning that I met Sister Helen Prejean, who was just starting her dead man walking tour at the time. She was just beginning her activism against the death penalty. I just left journalism for a while. I went and moved out to San Francisco and started working as a private investigator.
And was that as a result of what you had witnessed?
Definitely. Yeah, it was just a terrible thing to see. And of course, it made me think about the big questions, which justice and life and what had brought me there and what I could do about what I had seen.
So can you talk to us a little bit then about the very complicated sentencing and the changes that led to the charges that led to Sonny's release?
Yes, and that's an excellent question. So she was sentenced to death. She and Jesse Tufaro were tried separately by the same judge, who himself was a retired Florida highway patrolman, in 1976. And Walter Rhodes testified at both trials. And in 1981, on Sonny's appeal, the judge who was hearing the appeal discovered that Walter Rhodes had undergone a polygraph tests that had never been turned over to Sonny's defense. So that was a violation of her right to a fair trial. And the judge overturned her death sentence. They let the conviction stand, though. So she was, her death sentence was changed to life in prison. So she served in life, a sort of a life sentence for the murders of Trooper Black and Constable Irwin, and for a kidnapping that had happened during the crime as well, from 1981 to 1992, when a higher court in the United States heard, reconsidered the evidence about the withheld polygraph and also some statements that had been taken from Sonny during her arrest that were in violation of her constitutional rights. And they overturned her murder conviction and sent it back for a new trial. So a lot of time had passed, 1976 to 1992. Walter Rose had recanted and unrecanted, recanted, unrecanted, and an important eyewitness, a truck driver eyewitness, had died. And so Sonny Jacobs in the state of Florida entered into what's called an Alford plea, which is a guilty plea. Legally, it's a conviction. But it allowed Sonny Jacobs to say that, to not admit personal guilt for the crime. So she admitted that the state could prove certain facts against her, including that there had been a shot fired from the car where she was sitting, but she didn't admit personal guilt. After that, she was released from prison.
Okay, Ellen, thank you so much for joining us to talk us through all that and your own experience with the case. And I do appreciate your time. That's Ellen McGarrahan who's an author and private investigator. Thank you.
We're joined now by Abe Bonowitz of Death Penalty Action in the US. Abe, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me.
My condolences to you, because I know you and Sonny Jacobs were friends for over 30 years. Is that right?
That's correct. We met in 1993, shortly after she got out of prison.
How did you meet?
We were together on an event called The Journey of Hope from Violence to Healing, which is a speaking tour led by murder victim family members who oppose the death penalty. And that also brought together death row families and former death row prisoners who had been exonerated and freed. We would go around and tell our stories, and Sonny was one of the most amazing voices on that tour.
Describe her to me as a friend, if you will.
Well, the sparkle in her eye was always there, even when she was, you know, in pain, and you know, in her last few years, she was in a motorized scooter, and you know, life was a little bit more difficult. But the sparkle was always there, as well as an infectious laugh. And to hear her laugh, I can hear it in my mind right now. She was always finding the joy in things, and also her passion to try to keep what happened to her from happening to anyone else.
Did she ever come to terms fully, do you think, with spending all those years in prison? Because I know when she was sentenced, she had a young son and a daughter. I think she was nursing at 10 months old. And when she emerged from prison, the daughter was 16. She didn't know her. And the son was married, I think.
That's correct. Eric and Christina. And actually, Christina was with her on that speaking tour in 1993. That's when I met her, too, which is, I think, part of the reason why this morning at 3:15 a.m., where I'm at currently in New Mexico, I woke up, something woke me up, and I looked at my phone, and there was a text from Tina asking me to call her, and I knew something was up. But so Tina called and asked me to help her reach out to people.
And Tina's her daughter, isn't that what you say?
To let people know before they would see the news or on social media. So, you know, we're still Christina and I are friends as well, and she has, you know, her own struggles with, you know, because not only did she miss her mother growing up and coming of age, but also her father, Sonny's husband, was executed in a terribly, horrifically botched electric chair execution. And she continues to deal with the repercussions of that as well. The good news is that, you know, there's been a lot of love and a lot of people have supported Sonny and her family. And And Sonny had a childhood friend, Mickey Dickoff, who is a filmmaker who actually did an investigation that helped demonstrate how Sonny and Jesse were not likely to be the shooters in that case. And in fact, it was somebody else that committed that crime that was with them.
I was reading about Mickey Dickoff's analysis of the evidence, which seems to me to be instrumental in getting to that Alfred plea deal. Can I ask you, though, about this?
Yes.
Did you keep in contact with her during the last years of her life? Because
I last saw her in person when we were together at the Innocence Network conference in New Orleans, it was a privilege for me to see her then. And part of the reason why I went is because I knew she would be there, but I had not realized until I got there that Sonny's parents died in a plane crash in New Orleans when she was still in prison. And she had never been to the memorial or the site of that crash. So I was able to take her in the car that I had and be together with her and give her that opportunity. So I feel very privileged that was an opportunity that we had together to be together doing something that was, a personal thing for her outside of the work that we do together all the time. Sonny's passion, really, what she did, but in the creating the Sonny Center with her second husband, Peter Pringle, an Irish death row survivor, they created this foundation and an organization whose mission is to help people who have survived wrongful incarceration and help them recover their lives to the extent possible and move forward. And that's the most recent conversations that she and I have been having, is how can we help people like her who are getting older and dealing with everything that you deal with when you're in your 70s and 80s, when you had all this time in prison, and because of that situation, you don't have the kind of resources that most of us have when it comes time to retire.
Well, she spent her last years on Earth in an area where I grew up, and I know it has, if I'm biased, I know, but it has breathtaking landscape and relative peace and quiet comparatively. So I kind of understand, I must say, given her life, how she chose to live there. But I must say, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Abe Bonovitz of Death Penalty Action in the US. Thank you so much for joining us.